Derek Keenan joins us. Derek, how you doing?
Doing well, Jason. How are you?
I'm well. So which one mattered more to you, coach of the year or GM of the year?
I don't know. I've always, of course, enjoyed the coaching part of it a lot more than the other part, but I have to say the coaching. You know, and the GM part is really a team effort with, so is the coaching, of course. I have great assistants, and then you have to get buy-in from the team, too. But, you know, Bruce and I worked on building this together along with Al Riz and the office staff, so that's a group effort for sure. And and from the coaching perspective, of course, individual things like this don't happen without a great team, and we certainly have a good young team on the floor, so that's what makes it happen.
Well, and that's good you say that, because I agree with you. I thought your coaching job was way better than your GMing this year. I didn't really have to do much GMing. Most of your trades were done previous years until this point. Your team was pretty much set. You didn't have to make a lot of moves in last offseason.
No, I mean, we did well through the draft last year with Church and Lowen. I think we're both really good additions. And then tonight, I think we're gonna make another good addition or two. So we're looking forward to that as well.
Derek, Kyle Rubisha won his third consecutive Defensive Player of the Year award. There's no argument he's the best defensive player in the league. Chris Corbeil finished second. Should have been Transition Player of the Year, but regardless. You look at your defense there, and more so the age of your defense. Like, do you have anybody over the age of 29?
No, I think John Lynch would be our oldest guy, and he is, I think, 29,
okay.
28 or 29. So, yeah, no, they're... In fact, and after John, I think you're looking at 25 and under. So they're pretty young and athletic, and I think still with some upside ahead of them. And that's exciting to have that group for sure.
Oh, very much so. You mentioned a few picks. The West has all the picks in the first round via different sorts of trades. Have you been getting any phone calls from Eastern teams about the number 7 pick?
There is definitely some interest in it. Now, did you know the trade today with Rochester?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Oh, huge trade. Wow, I'm surprised. You're usually right on top of things with Twitter there, buddy. What's going on?
Well, I was taking the little guy for a walk today, man. I must have missed it.
Go.
Wow. What happened? Who got traded?
Rochester traded Johnny Paulus and I think the number 9 pick to Vancouver for Johnny Paulus and McCready to Vancouver for the 2 pick and the 11 pick. Sorry, the 11 pick and then 2 first rounders, and 1 in 15 and 1 in 17.
Wow.
He's great. So Rochester now has the 2nd pick. So there is an Eastern team in the top 9 of the draft. So it did change things a little bit, I think, from perhaps, not from our perspective, but perhaps in an opportunity to move number 7. We've got some interest from 2 or 3 teams, and if the right deal comes up, we'd really like to try and get a first rounder next year for it. But it's been a little bit difficult to do that because I think everybody sees the depth in that draft next year. So, and if not, then we'll take best player available at 7. And given that there's been a few guys that have come into the draft late. Josh Johnson, Joseph Merrickell, to name a couple, the draft's a little bit deeper, and we could possibly get a good player at 7 that maybe he'll either play this year or something that we can move for future. So we're going to do a little approach it that way, I think, if we don't move it.
Now, Derek, you mentioned guys. What are the rules on when they have to declare for the NLL draft?
Well, that's been another kind of argument we've been going back and forth on here for a couple of days, because the deadline is, once again, they stretched it out, and they need a firm deadline on it because, you know, make it whatever it is, whether it's August 31st or September 1st or whatever it might be, because you kind of feel for teams that perhaps have made trades to move down a draft or future draft or whatever it might be, and then all of a sudden there's guys that jump into the draft at the last minute that probably would have changed their thoughts on that. It hasn't affected us, but I think it has a couple of teams, and so I think there needs to be a firmer deadline on it. And I think that's up for discussion with the Board of Governors.
Definitely. When the players themselves, like, why would a guy suddenly declare himself on August 31st, but not July, June, or May?
Well, I think in some cases, guys that decide not to go back to school to the NCAA route are guys that are 20-year-olds, like the two kids from Six Nations who put in late, Josh Johnson and Joseph Merrickell, still have a year of junior left. They aren't in school. I'm only guessing here, but they possibly looked at next year's draft and said, you know, this might be a better opportunity for me to go higher given the depth of next year. So that could be part of their thought process as well. But I'm not really sure. A lot of times, as I said, though, it is just guys deciding not to go back to school.
Okay. Derek Keenan, the coach of the year and the GM of the year, joins us. Edmonton Rush have the number one overall pick tonight in the draft, which starts around 5 o'clock Edmonton time. With Rochester moving up now, you know, Noble, you kind of, you know, Rochester, usually it's pretty obvious who they like in guys. You know who you're taking. Do you think you know kind of how the next four or five picks are going to play out? And would you at all be interested in moving up from number seven?
Maybe, but again, it goes to where we have just so much depth on our roster already, kind of in all areas, especially after we pick number one, where we're going to take a righty old guy. So it would have to be, you know, really good for us to do that. And I'm pretty sure that Rochester are going to take the best righty available at number two. So then after that, you're kind of getting into probably Eli McLaughlin, Mark Cochran, and Robert Hope, that group. And I'm not sure that really makes us that much better or certainly would create competition on our roster, but there's only so many spots with 20-man rosters. So I don't think so, unless it would involve perhaps somehow obtaining a first rounder next year if we did do that. So, but we'll you know, I don't see that happening, but I didn't see the Vancouver Rochester trade happening either. Everything that I had heard was it was Calgary and Colorado who were in play trying to get that pick, had offers on the table for that pick to Vancouver, and then that kind of turned some heads with Rochester dealing Palace in particular.
Well, it definitely you know, makes more sense for Vancouver, and if they're moving the pick out, they're moving it to the other conference, so they're not going to have to face the guy that much in the playoffs.
I give Vancouver credit. It's a big move. They paid a price, but they really think they showed that they want to be better right now, and they are. I mean, they probably were a little concerned going into this year, even with the second pick. I mean, they would have got a good player, but now they've got, you know, a really good Johnny Palace, who's only 21. McCready's a very good player. You know, it makes them better right away. So, you know, I give them credit because they may have, you know, sure would have had a good player too, but not as good as what they got. So paid a price, but, you know, I think you have to pay a price sometimes to be competitive in our division and in the league in general.
And lastly, not only do you have the number one overall pick, Derek, you have Corey Smalls coming off of, you know, a reconstructive knee surgery. And, you know, he was, you know, a guy who had 68 points the previous year. You know, your offense now, because we all know you're taking a righty with the first pick, you bring Smalls in back on your left side. You got to think your offense should be much more dynamic next year.
A lot of options, yeah. We have a lot of different looks. And, you know, I think we have a strong perimeter presence. We have good off-ball guys on both sides of the floor. Corey gives us another guy that can shoot the ball well on the run and another good power play player. So, I think it just gives us a lot more. I just don't think we would have any holes. When you have that much talent on the floor at one time, you become very difficult to defend because you can't. You know, I think there are teams that sometimes try to focus on Mark Matthews, and, you know, like, that's fine because we have so many other options. And Corey just gives us that an additional weapon out there from every shift.
One last one. Speaking of Mark Matthews, I know he talked about how Corbeil challenged him last summer to get in better shape, but felt like he still needed to go to a new level of conditioning. Derek, where do you think he's at, and, you know, how much better is that going to make him? Do you think that was something he needed to add to his game?
He's taken further strides again this year. I saw him just the other day. He looked really good. He looked really good in the summer. playing for Team Canada in the World Field Championships. He's leaner and he's trimmer and continues to work on his foot speed, get a little bit more quickness. And, you know, his strength is there. He's still a big man. He just he continues to just get a little bit leaner and quicker, I think, is really important for him.
Appreciate your time, Derek. We will talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jason.